Shio, and welcome to DrStanleyLive.com, where you can enjoy provocative internet radio without going too far. I'm your host, Dr. Loretta Stanley, broadcasting from my hometown of St. Louis, Missouri. One day, a friend and I were in serious agape mode, chatting up all the personal work we'd been doing on ourselves. We were just bragging it up and down about how spiritually connected we were in our physical world, after which my friend went through an inventory of all the things she had done to clear a path for her future. And then she said, "Now where's my stuff?" We nearly fell out of our chairs in tearful and hysterical laughter because we instantly knew her statement was all about receiving personal gain and not really at all about progressing her spirit. I guess she had to be there to appreciate the cackling. Further, her statement was big enough that it applied to both of us. The first law of thermodynamics says, energy can be changed from one form to another, but it cannot be created nor destroyed. It is what it is. It says the total amount of energy and matter in the universe remains constant, merely changing from one form to another. In relationship practice, you cannot love and hate in the same breath. It is impossible. When you are hating, you are not loving. When you are angry, you are not loving. When you are aggravated, it is simply not a state of love. It just isn't. Dance around the topic all you want and make any excuse you want, but it is not love unless it is love. You can say, "But my children know I love them." Well, when you're not in a state of love, it's not love. The negative feeling you are reflecting is what it is. The one thing that it is not is love. No two energies can hold the same space, especially opposing energies. It just merely changes from one form to another. In career practice, several years ago when I decided to close my practice and pursue the life I have now, I was writing for 4 St. Louis area publications and a couple of out-of-town magazines. I remember sitting in my office contemplating the reality of what I saw in my head. It was so real that I felt this overwhelming need to just let go and let God. I knew that in order for me to bring my writing to the audience of my dream, I would have to let go of the other writing opportunities. Now, I don't believe I had to let go of these opportunities in order to be successful, but I do believe I had to let go of them simply because I was afraid. That was the sole reason, S-O-U-L, that was the sole reason why I had to let go. The soul is deep, and my bone was being scratched simply because I was attached, I was worried, afraid, fearful, and mistrusting. I had to let go. One of my personal mottos is, I don't use fear to hold me back. I use it to drive me forward. If I had not been attached, then it wouldn't have been such a big deal to let go. The attachment would keep me from having what I truly desired. If I wasn't attached, I would have to let go just because I didn't want to do it anymore. Attachments will teach you faster than anything. My heart was into the dream in my head, and God only knows what is in my heart because He put the desire there. And naturally, I had to remember, no two opposing energies can hold the same space. It merely changes from one form to another. In financial practice, there is no better story to tell about financial letting go than that of the man who travels to a far land and called his servants together to give them his possessions to look after according to their own ability. He gives 5 talents to one man, 2 talents to another, and 1 talent to the other. When the master returned to settle accounts with the servants, 2 men who received the 5 and 2 talents doubled their master's money. Yeah, they were good managers. They were good money managers. The man who received 1 talent was afraid, so he hid the talent and brought it back to his master. The master was not at all impressed, so he took the talent from the fearful man and gave it to the man who had doubled his money. The rich man did not take from the poor, as we so often hear. This unfaithful servant gave it up. He handed it over by not doing a thing, and he will probably keep giving it up until he learns how to be faithful in matters of money. It comes straight from Scripture. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." That's Matthew 25:21. Now turn this parable toward yourself and what is going on in your neck of the woods. Make this about you. When you receive money, does it feel as though it's being taken from you? Like right when you get it, is it gone? It's easy to witness fear just by watching people spend their own money. Actually, the heck with watching others. Watch yourself. There is a thought an attitude and application that we choose to stand in when handling money. Shift your attitude and application with money, and you may find yourself saying, "It's a miracle!" Once again, no two opposing energies can hold the same space. It merely changes from one form to another. When you hear the term energy shift, it is literally the first law of thermodynamics. You cannot create or destroy energy. You can't do it. No way, no how, can't do it. But what you can do is shift the energy from one form to another. The energy is already there. You may as well make it positive. You can shift your energy with love. You can shift your energy with your skills and your talents. And you can shift your energy with money. And the burning question, now where's my stuff? At the time, my friend posed the question, and we fell out laughing hysterically. Who knows where our stuff was then, but the energy sure has shifted now. In Cherokee, until we meet again, Deinada Gohaya. And remember, nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Have a great day, everyone.